right, get your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 through 27 together. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray. You may be seated. I'm going to jump right into this. I really believe I can get you out right at 7 o'clock tonight, or very close to that. I'm trying real hard, but I have a truth I really want you to listen to tonight. Those of you boys and girls that tend to wander in your thinking, tonight's not the night for that. That preacher wants your attention. I want to help you. And you parents that wander, I want your attention too. Amen. All right, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 17 through 27. Let's read this responsively. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. And let's finish on verse 27 together. Ready? And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and he hath not told me. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us to learn from this passage of Scripture a very, very important truth. I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Elisha, the man of God, was a powerful preacher. He passed through a place called Shunem one day, and a couple begged him to stay. He had been preaching, and they were saved people, and they begged him to stay in their home that night, and they fed him and gave him a place to sleep. Well, they kind of fell in love with the preacher and said, look, anytime you're through this area, why don't you just stop at our house and you can make our house your house? He said, oh, I couldn't do that. And the man said, tell you what, preacher, I'll just build a little room off the back of the house here, have its own entrance. And whenever you're in town, whenever you need to, here's the key. I'll build it and you may stop. It's yours. So Elisha did just that. After probably a process of years, not many, but years passed, he was spending time with them, probably at a meal, and found out that they had no children. The wife wanted children, but they were unable to have them. And he told them that because they had been so good to him, he was going to ask God to give them children and that they were going to have a child. Well, the lady looked at him and said, now, preacher, don't do that to me. That would be cruel if it doesn't happen. You get my hopes up. He said, don't worry. God's going to do it. Well, guess what? About 9 months later, she had a little child. She had a little boy. Years have passed, probably in the neighborhood of 6, 7, 8 years. We don't know exactly how many, but it was more than just a few years. This boy was old enough to go out into the fields and work with his dad. He went out to the field one morning with his dad and said, Dad, my head hurts so bad. And he just began to weep, my head. He looked at one of the servants and said, take the boy to the house, let his mama take care of him. They took him there. The Bible says that she set him on her lap, on her knees, and in just a few hours, the boy died. Oh, my soul. He died on her lap. Can you imagine how that lady felt? She took that dead body. She put him on the bed of the man of God in that spare room. And the Bible says she went out to her husband and said, you get one of the servants to saddle up an ass and I need to go find the man of God. He said, it's not his time to be here. Where are you going to find him? She said, it's okay. You get it. We're going. I'm going to run to the man of God. Servant came and she said, don't you slow down. You don't wait for me. You go as fast as we can get there. Unless I tell you to stop, you keep this thing going or I'm going to kick you in the backside. Now that's not in the Hebrew, but it's got to read between the lines there, all right? She took straightway after the man of God. She found him in a place called Mount Carmel. The man of God was watching and looked up and noticed who it was a ways out. Looked at his assistant and said, there's that Shunammite that I stay with over in Shunem. Why don't you go find out if everything's okay? So he ran out, met her part way and said, is everything okay? She said, it is. I just got to talk to the man of God. He said, but ma'am, she said, I'm talking to the man of God. She pushed her way through, and the Bible says that she fell at his feet and grabbed him around his feet. And Gehazi got a little indignant and was getting ready to push her off. And the preacher said, hold it. God's hid something from me. Something's not right. It's okay. She began to tell the story how that the young boy had died. Oh, her heart was broken. She said, I told you. Don't ask God to give us a child if this was going to happen. This hurts worse than had we not had children. Elisha said, Gehazi, let's go. He saddled up. He and Gehazi went with this Shunammite woman all the way back. They got into town and he said, Gehazi, you run ahead of us. You get there as fast as you can and you go into that room and you pray over that little boy's body that God brings life back into that child. Gehazi went, how would you like to be the assistant pastor that's got to walk into a room with a dead body and your preacher just told you pray that life comes back into that thing? Brother Hawkins, I've been asked to do a lot of things as an assistant pastor. That's one of them. I'd have to say, preacher, are you okay? There's very few times in life where preachers are at a loss for words, but when you know someone has passed, there's nothing you can say that's going to fix anything. Nothing. You can try to bring comfort, but you can't fix it. You can't. It's a lonely feeling. Told my wife more than once, man, I know I'm going to fail. I can't do anything to really help. I can comfort a little, but I can't fix anything. Death is so final. The Shunammite and Elisha get back. Gehazi's there praying. He said, preacher, it's not working. Too far gone. She said, preacher, can't you do something? He said, everybody out. The Bible says that boy's body was there on his bed and he put his hands on that boy's hands, his face on his face, and began to pray and said, oh God, would you please bring life back to this boy? And he sneezed 7 times and sat up in bed. Say, what was the significance of him sneezing 7 times? God put it in the Bible. Ask him when you get there. I don't know. It means he went, achoo, 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 and he was okay. That's what it means. Well, what is the symbology of that? He had to sneeze. I don't know. Now, allow me to be your pastor tonight. I love you, and I want to help you. I'm not a cult leader. I've been in the ministry a long time. I've been in Baptist churches my whole life. Brother Hawkins, you and I went to Bible college together back when we were both a lot younger. You actually had dark hair back then. Yes, sir. Mine was really dark and there was more of it. Now, wait a minute. Baptist preachers been called cult leaders for a long time. It's nothing new. You hear somebody call me a cult leader, guess what? It's been said before. It'll be said again. Don't worry about it. That's people that don't understand what a cult is. I'm not looking for power over anybody. I have no desire to run your life. None. I have a hard enough time running mine. I don't want to run your life. I am not the issue tonight. Your well-being, your spirituality, and your family's safety is, though. That's my job. I'm a man, and I'm a sinner, just like you. Folks, I am no different than you are. The calling on my life is, my profession is, but I am not any better of a person than anybody else in this room. I have the highest calling in the world. I'll be honest with you. Brother Hawkins, you prayed this morning and you called me your preacher and my knees buckled. That term, there's fear in my vocabulary for that term. I don't take that term lightly. Brother Gus sometimes will, not even humorously, he means it. He'll say, hey, man of God, boy, I tremble on the inside. I don't know why God did it. I don't. Mom and Dad and I were together today. Our family was, and they left, and I knew I was preaching this tonight. I remember walking to the church up Elwood, across 12th Street, over to Miles, up Miles Avenue to cut through the back corner of the church parking lot to get to the church. Can't tell you how many times I walked it. Not because they weren't going to church. I just wanted to get there before anybody else did. Can't tell you how many times I'd walk back from soul winning on a Tuesday night, Brother Mike. I'd say, God, could you ever use a nobody? Could I do something for you? I never dreamed this. No way a boy could dream that. None. It is the highest calling there is. So all I am is a conduit for God to work through me to help you. That is my desire. I'm not God. Just so you know that, I'm not God, and everybody ought to be glad for that. Amen? I think I happen to know that book better than the average person, but I'm not God. I live in a spiritual world and a physical world in a unique way. Now listen to me very carefully. It's my job as your pastor, as your shepherd, to protect sheep, to guide sheep. It's my job to tell you what God says. It's not always what I want, but it's what God wants. I'm not the issue. He is. He is. I'm not trying nor wanting to be God. I want to point you to Him and to His words, to His principles that work. I want you to notice a truth for tonight. There's one little phrase this little Shunammite woman did that is so powerful. She said, that I may run to the man of God. That I may run to the man of God. Now listen to this. This little lady had the biggest heartache of her life. Her child died in her arms on her lap. Her first reaction was not, preacher, I told him not to do this. I am so mad at him. I'll never talk to him again. She wasn't running from the man of God. She ran to the man of God. She wasn't angry with God. She had to get to the man of God. She wasn't trying to run away. She was running to. She didn't run to complain or get angry. She didn't spread a bunch of bad rumors about him while she went. She wasn't telling everybody along the way, yeah, this preacher prayed for us to have a baby and now this baby died and it's all the preacher's fault. Oh, no, 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 no. Matter of fact, when somebody said, is everything well? She said, yeah, but I need to get to the preacher. I can prove she wasn't a gossip. She didn't tell Gehazi. She didn't say, yeah, I got to talk to the man of God. It's all his fault. No, 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 no. She didn't go to tell him, don't you ever come to my house again. I'll never come here. You preach again. She didn't say that. Even though she was in total grief and devastation, she ran to God's man. Why is it that when most people face pressure, they run away from God and run away from God's man? I do not understand that. You understand something. 2.5 years ago when God asked us to start this church, I realized I didn't have a man of God to run to. I had to run to God. I realized that people in time of heartache, grief, devastation, sin, and tragedy would be running to me. That's pretty intimidating. She ran to God's man. Why do people run away from the man of God? Why do they run from God? She, in her first reaction, said, I must run to the man of God. Now listen to me. I'm not going to lift myself up, but I must lift my position up. I must. I'm not comfortable preaching this sermon. I wish I could call somebody else to come in and preach it, but I'm your shepherd. I have to preach the whole Bible, not just the parts that are comfortable. I'm no better than any other person, but my job dictates me to do what I must do tonight. Number one, go to the man of God for spiritual direction and spiritual decisions. Can I tell you something? I spend my life walking in a spiritual world. I do spiritual battle on a regular basis. You'll never understand that. 100 people have maybe one or two battles spiritually a year, but I face all of those with most of you, and then I get attacked for doing it. Devil climbs on my frame every chance he gets. Matter of fact, sometimes he's got a gang of them climbing on me, and it's okay. That's my job. Guess what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm okay with it. Don't you ever get this attitude, well, I don't want to bother the preacher. You bother me when you don't bother me. You mess up worse that way. See, did you know there are spiritual decisions to make with your money? Some of you wouldn't go into such bad debt if you just check with the preacher first, see if it was a good thing. I hate to tell you that. Let me help you. I can't tell you I am the greatest person. I don't have millions of dollars set aside in the bank. But I can tell you this, I've worked with a lot of people, I can help you with your bills. I don't care how bad it is, we'll get you out. It might take a while, but we're going to get you out of it. You might get lean for a while, but we'll get you out of it. I'm not asking you to give more to the church. I've said this before. I'll say it in the pulpit, on tape, or recorded. They don't have tapes anymore. I still listen to tapes. I don't care what anybody says. But not 8-tracks either. Cassette tapes, but as long as I have some sense in my head, I never plan on having a give it all Sunday. Say why? I'm not asking you to be foolish with your finances. If you'll just be obedient in tithing and give a little extra as God prompts you to, God'll take care of his work his way. I'm good with that. I've watched too many people sacrifice, get out of church because they gave all their paycheck, couldn't pay their bills, and then they messed themselves up and got mad at the church, got mad at the preacher over it, and it was foolishness. God didn't tell you to give it all. He said tithe. Then give your offerings on top of that. That's all I'm asking. But let me help you with your bills. When you lose your job, that's not time to go out and spend a bunch of money. I know people have lost their job, went out and bought a brand new car, and they lost their job. Thinking,
what'd you do that for?
I got to keep going. Spiritual decisions with your health. Can I tell you something? Let me help you with your health. Let me pray with you about it at least. Some of you could, it's amazing people that come to me about their health. Sometimes God gives the preacher a little bit of sense. I've seen an awful lot of people. I've seen an awful lot of things. I've told people, you better take so-and-so to the doctor. They've got this problem. What? Just trust me. It's amazing how many times that's true. Not because I'm so smart. I've just worked with so many people. So, well, I got a tumor. It's right here. And it keeps growing a little bit at a time. That's directly related to what you poked down the big hole in your face. Amen? We can fix that. Some of you have problems with relationships. If you come see me, I'll help you. We're to run to the man of God, not from the man of God. I've had people call me about vehicles. I've had people call me about houses. I've had people call me about different property. I've had people call me about different health situations. That's just in the last week. Different relationship issues. Can I tell you something? You don't bother me. It bothers me when you struggle through that without getting some advice. All right? So, number one, go to the man of God for spiritual direction in decisions. Number two, running to the man of God is strength, not weakness. I'll tell you something. Running to the man of God is strength, not weakness. You let these backslidden backbiters tell you, well, you just need a preacher because you're weak. Those are the kind of people to avoid. They just uttered their foolishness out of their big fat trap. Can I tell you something? Getting wisdom or strength when you do not have enough of your own is strength. It is not weakness. You see, there, all of us run out of our own strength and our own weakness. We're all going to need help. We'll find out how strong you are by who you go to for your help. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to somebody that doesn't have any more strength than I have. I want to go to somebody that's got more strength. I want to go to somebody that's got more wisdom, more experience. Some of you pinhead little kids and teenagers get your advice from somebody that's in their 20s and they don't even know how to shave without a pair of tweezers yet. Well, I know somebody and they know more than what the preacher said. I got more sense than that little finger and they got in their whole head. They hadn't built a popsicle stand, and you think they know more than I know? You're an idiot. Not because I'm so smart. They haven't experienced enough life. They haven't worked with the hundreds of thousands of people God's allowed me to work with. Can I tell you something? I'm nothing. But God's given me an awful lot of experience for somebody my age. I'm here to shout. Now, listen to me very carefully. People who flounder on their own are hurting themselves and others more by floundering. Some of you struggle with problem after problem after problem after problem. Well, I can't go to the preacher. I might have to tell him something. Yeah, because you got to fix it. You don't go to the doctor and say, just look me over and tell me what's wrong. Well, what are you feeling? Oh, I'm not going to tell you anything. You just look at me. You say, that's stupid. Got to tell them what you're feeling. That's how you get help. Guess what? Church is a hospital, not a museum. And when the doctor works on you, he's got to find out what the problems are. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. By the way, these are the people usually too weak to be wise and often become evil or ruined. When you keep floundering and don't seek help, that's who the devil's looking for. The devil is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He's not going after the strong ones. He's looking for those wounded ones, the limping ones, the weak ones. Did you ever watch some of these nature shows where they got the lions that go out and they kill the animals? Did you ever notice there could be a million wildebeests out there? Them old lions and cheetahs, buddy, they're just watching. And all of a sudden they spot one that it's limping when it walks. Man, they fixate on it. Why? Easier target. They'll wait sometimes hours watching, and they pick out that weak one. And they said, ah, that's the one. And they'll sneak up close to it. They know exactly where that thing's limping. And they get as close as they can, and then pow, they've got it. Say, why do they do that? Because they're trying to successfully get a meal, and the devil's trying to successfully destroy you. And the longer you flounder, the longer you limp, the longer you go on your own, the more chance the devil's going to get you. And here's how he does it with Christians. He brings somebody that's supposed to be spiritual, that is being used for evil, and pulls you away. Watch it happen over and over and over and over and over again. When you hear these words out of somebody's mouth, well, you can't trust the preacher. Careful. When you hear words like, hang on, well, he struggles with decision making in certain areas. How do they know? Sounds like somebody's bitter to me. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Trying to help you. I'm not asking for control. Brother Hiles used to put it this way. You might give me veto power, though. You might bring something by and say, preacher, what do you think? Well, I already know what the preacher's going to say. No, you don't. You'd be surprised. You might just be surprised. I'm not asking for control. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. Let me read a verse to you. You need not turn there, but let me read it to you real quick. The Bible says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors their safety. Some of you are going to go to war and not seek counsel. That's not real smart. See, well, I went, and by the way, the term multitude of counselors doesn't mean you go get my advice and call four other pastors and find out what they say and find the one that agrees with you and say, well, I got advice. No. Do you know there are certain people in this church? I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to ask Jim Tuning an electrical question. Tell you why. He's not an electrician. But I'll talk to one of you electricians and ask you an electrical question. Matter of fact, the question's going to be, can you fix this? Because I'm not touching it. Amen? I'm not going to ask a woodworking question to Joe Lopez. Tell you why. Because a hammer and screwdriver isn't going to do what I need it to do. Amen? But I might talk to Brother Kermit or my dad. Say why. Those guys are craftsmen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That certain area of life. If I got a tire question, I'm not going to talk to Tony. I'm going to talk to Brother Mark. If I got a question about McDonald's, I'm not going to ask Brother Mark. I'm going to ask Tony. Now, I say that to say this. If I got a question about the nursery, I'm going to talk to Ellen. Say why? Because she spent more time in the nursery than anybody. She's still there. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. I'm not going to ask somebody that's never had a baby a nursery question. That just doesn't make sense. Can I tell you something? That's called having a multitude of counselors. In different areas, I seek some advice. It doesn't mean you go from person to person to person to person to find the answer you want and then say, I found the answer I was looking for. Some of you are playing leader against leader. By the way, boys and girls, teenagers do that with moms and dads. They'll go ask the parent that'll give in first and say, well, mom said so, or dad said so. Careful, parents, you got to work together, not against each other. My wife and I learned real quick, well, mom said, wait a minute, did you ask, let me find out what mom said, let me go talk to mom. It could be mom said that 6 months ago, not just now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, how do you know that? Shh, we don't go there. It's Mother's Day. I want to keep you from making bad decisions. That's all I ask. Now, number three. This is going to be a hard one. But don't worry, you'll survive it. Past friendships and past spiritual leaders may have changed, and you may need me to guide you on who those are. If this sounds arrogant to you, I will apologize. But I know more than I can ever tell you. I know more than I ever will tell you. I'm not going to stand here and list people in public who you shouldn't go talk to. Say what? Because that's evil, it's gossip, and it's wrong. Everybody doing all right? Okay, now listen to me. There are some past spiritual influences that may not be as spiritual as you think they are now. Did you know I've served on 4 different church staffs? Did you know that on every one of those church staffs are people who aren't even fundamentalists anymore? I wouldn't advise you going and getting their advice. I'm not going to stand here and tell you who they are. Say why? Because I'm not going to use the devil's methods for God's work. Everybody doing all right? Okay, now listen to me very carefully. Make a statement here. I refuse to expose people publicly, even if I think they may hurt you, because I will not be part of gossip. But just so you know, this isn't my first rodeo. I happen to read through situations better than you think. There's a lot of people that think I'm a simpleton. And I'm glad I'm simple to some of the things of the world. But I'm not as simple as they think I am. I'm really not. See, I will not even tell you why I think you should distance yourself. I might just say, if you asked me, preacher, do you think, Brother Hawkins, not long ago, he came to me and said, preacher, what about so-and-so? I said, think it'd be a good idea to distance yourself. Okay, that's all I need to know. I didn't tell him why. Even if he asked me, I wasn't going to tell him. Say why? Because I respect even somebody that's gone the wrong direction enough, I'm not going to spread negative about them. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't think that's the right way. Okay, you do it your way. I'm trying to follow God's way.
Amen.
Then ask you whether you thought it was right. I know it's the way God says to do it. People who have changed will try to make you believe that they have not changed. The deacons and I've kept them informed on a certain situation that I've had to deal with. I took a phone call not many weeks ago. You know, this yard bird tried to portray that he hadn't changed. Guess what? He's changed. Everything around him has changed. They've changed so much they don't even know they've changed. Because they believe they're still the same. And they're not the same. I wasn't unkind. I was actually very kind. Say why? I'll give them the respect. I didn't want to jump into a fight over it. I'm not afraid of it. It just wasn't going to change them. And I know they're dead sure not going to change me. Okay. This is where it's going to ouch a little bit. Facebook and social network can and will destroy you. It used to be, listen to this statement. It used to be the world was a much smaller place because You could go from Martinsburg to Winchester, and that was a long-distance phone call. Now you connect with people all over the world and it doesn't cost you a penny. Now, whatever you do, everybody in the world knows about it. And we have shrunk our world to where gossip travels faster than ever. And some of you believe everything you see on Facebook. I don't. Well, I Google searched it and Wikipedia said, and you believe everything about Wikipedia? You know what they say about a fundamentalist? Anyone willing to attack or cast doubt on God's man is poison. Let me say that again. Anybody willing to attack or cast doubt on God's man is poison. Poison. By the way, as far as I know, we don't have any problem in this area. None. I just know people. Attacks are going to come. I have friends all over the country. Attacks are going to come. Now listen to this very carefully here. I do not, will not, and never plan to ever listen to evil about a man of God. I got an evil text this week. Someone texted me and said, and they accused a man of God to me. My first reaction was, I'm going to reach through this stupid phone and jerk somebody right through it and pop their little head off and spit down the hole. Say, what'd you do? I contacted that man of God and said, you got a problem. Somebody's being evil. Say, what did you respond to that person? I called their man of God. I have not responded to their text, nor will I. I didn't even acknowledge it. Everybody doing okay? Say, what did you do? I called the man of God that was attacked and said, you're about to get smacked with evil. I don't want you caught off guard. I love you. I'll help you. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, what if the man of God's wrong? God will show. I'll stand with the man of God. He's right more times than somebody else. And I know enough about the situation, I trust the man of God over this person any day.
Amen.
Promise you. You can't live in the past or live like those in the past because those in the past aren't the same either. Number four, and I'm done. Trust God's man for what you don't know what to do. And I know that's asking a lot. Do you know we all have times of indecision? We all have times of indecision. Some of you older folk, the older you get, the more indecision sometimes it comes. Sometimes you're just dead dog set in your ways and something comes up and boy, it just rattles you. It didn't used to affect you that way, but it does now. Let me help you. You don't need to ask. Here it comes. Everybody look at me. You don't need to ask a shepherd of another flock what he would do. Why don't you ask your shepherd what he would do with his flock?
Amen.
So, I don't think you should have said that, okay? But I hate to tell you, somebody that's pastoring in California doesn't know how to tell you what to do because they're not in Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? God gave us a local church. We have a local church philosophy where we attend, but we want a universal church, a philosophy in who we seek counsel from. I said it. Well, I just don't know you like I should. Then let's get to know each other. I'm not sure I can trust you. You really have a problem. Come talk to me. Let me earn that. I'm not asking you to give it to me. I'm asking you to let me earn it. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang on here. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't use one man of God against another. This is dangerous. You know, did you know that, okay, I'm going to use my friend, Brother Kevin Arcola, over in Blacksville. Did you know if Brother Joe, you called Brother Kevin and said, not sure I can talk to my preacher, I'm going to talk to Brother Kevin. First of all, he's going to hang up on you. But second of all, even if he did talk to you, did you know that Brother Kevin is only going to get one side of the story that way? And he can't make a wise decision? He doesn't see the whole picture. He doesn't know what all's going on. How could he make a wise decision? By the way, a wise pastor isn't going to decide things like that with you. Everybody doing okay? I happen to see the whole picture here. Now, I don't see the whole picture in any other church. Say why? I got my hands full here. I'm not worried about somebody else's. I sat down with a preacher this week. We had a conversation. He's been asked to, he pastors a church. He's been asked to help another church in a certain area with some extra time. But that other church isn't exactly like him. He's a bit more aggressive, bit more solid, bit more fundamental. He said, I think it's a good opportunity to influence. Listen to this statement. I said, you're right, my brother. It's a good opportunity to influence, but it's also an opportunity for disloyalty. He said, whoa, what do you mean by that? I said, because you might draw more out of his people than he can draw out of them. You might draw their love and attention stronger than he can. Then you have problems. They may like you more than they like him. Then what are you going to do? He said, preacher, never thought about that. I said, that scares me. I said, you wouldn't do it to be disloyal, but they may like you more than they like him, and then you're going to draw them away from him to you. Then what? He said, I see what you're saying. I better rethink some of this. I said, you're better off saying no than saying yes and becoming labeled disloyal because of it and hurting another man's church. Right. By the way, I wished I could have told him yes, but I had to tell him what was right. See, doing good can turn you disloyal. If you do good and it's so strong that you draw people away from somebody else. I'm going to use a stupid illustration. I'm kind to my secretary. Brother and Mrs. Barnes are two of the best people I know on the face of the earth. Evan Barnes is one of the hardest working men that'll give you the shirt off his back, and then he'd probably peel a layer of skin off if you needed it. I'm not kidding. And I'm kind to his wife, but I'm not more kind to his wife than I am my wife. I have no intent of taking your wife away from you. Brother Barnes knows this. Just so you know, we're good with it. Brother Barnes and I are friends. And I mean this, I would fire her to keep my friendship with her husband, if that's what it took. Everybody doing okay? Say why. I have no desire to draw her away. I got a wife, I don't want any more, amen? God gave me one, I'm in madly in love, and ain't nobody else comparing. You say, that's a weird illustration. I know it's a weird illustration, but I've watched too many people do that kind of thing in other areas of life. Do you know, I don't want to run your family. I don't want to tell you how to run your children. I just want to show you what the Bible says, and hopefully you'll learn what the Bible says and see that it works. But Jimmy, I have no desire to parent your children. I'm done. 3 or 4 months, she's out of here. Whew. Mama and I are home alone, amen? Bring the grandkids when you want, Ruth Ann, but no more. I'm sending them back with you, especially if they're like Josh. Say why? I don't want to reap any more than I've sown, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? So many times we make foolish decisions. We run away from the man of God. The Shunammite woman, she ran to the man of God. Her heart hurt, she ran to the man of God. This is probably the most awkward sermon I've preached, but I felt like our church needed it. I don't know of any problems. This is called preventive maintenance, just so you know. Now, Brother Hawkins, you travel and do some preaching and stuff. Every once in a while, he'd say, I'm going to be with so-and-so. You mind if I ask him a few questions? I have no problem with that. Never have told you no. There's every once in a while, he'll say, what about? I'll say, he knows my code. I'll say something like, haven't talked to them in a long time. They don't have much to do with me. Ding, 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 ding. He's not real smart, but his antenna comes up quick, amen? Yeah, buddy. It doesn't come up as fast, but it's going, amen? It gets stuck about halfway sometimes, but it's still there. Folks, I'm not going to tell you all I know. Say why? What good's it going to do you? What good would it do you? So all it's going to do is taint your thinking. Just know something just might not be quite right. Sometimes it's, I just got to give it time to find out where somebody's going to land. People vacillate so much, I'm not sure where they're at anymore. It's not that they're, and by the way, it's not always that it's going to be that way forever. Just got to figure out, because some people just go wonky every once in a while. Is that a bad word? Wonky? Okay. Folks, run to the man of God. Don't run from. Well, I just don't want to bother you, preacher. You're always so busy. I'm never that busy. If I'm too busy for people, I'm too busy. Time to quit doing other work and be here for you. That's what I'm here for. Now, I might not be able to pick up the phone exactly when you call. Amen, Brother Wiley. Might take me 15 minutes. But that's about as long as I put somebody off. Say, why? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. Here to serve you. Here to help you make good, solid, spiritual decisions in every area of life for your family. I'm not asking for your loyalty. I'm not asking for your love. I'm asking, let me help you. Just let me help you. I don't want control. Got hard enough with my own. I can guide you. I can protect you. Did you know my mom and dad didn't always tell me when the weather was real bad? Why? Because I was afraid of storms. Man, I was afraid of tornadoes. I grew up where there was tornadoes. I didn't like them things. I'd seen too much destruction. Can I tell you something? They didn't always tell me. Say why? They were better off and so was I. You don't always have to know all the danger that's out there. Just pay attention. Just listen. Use a little bit of wisdom. When you don't have any, go get some from the right people. Run to the man of God, not from the man of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I don't claim to be the wisest person in the world, but I do know this. I'm trying to walk with God so I can help you. And let's decide when the problems come, we're not going to run away. We're going to run to God.